You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Sheriff White's award-winning play, The Other Place, opens with a dynamic PowerPoint presentation made by a brilliant, commanding, and sardonic biophysicist played by Laurie Metcalf. Her character, Juliana Smithton, is reenacting the presentation as she tries to figure out, in retrospect, when exactly it began to unravel and what caused it to go so wrong. She's left, as we are, trying to figure out what happened both in the presentation and in her life. Laurie Metcalf's daughter, Zoe Perry, plays a number of roles in the production, including Juliana's daughter, and both Zoe Perry and Laurie Metcalf join us now to talk about The Other Place. It's run at the Manhattan Theater Club, Samuel J. Friedman Theater on West 47th Street and 8th Avenue, has just been extended until March 3rd. Congratulations, I assume, are in order.
Thank you. Welcome.
Part of the problem with doing an interview like this is deciding how to talk about the play and what to reveal. How much of your audience comes in knowing nothing?
I would say the majority.
I prefer that.
Hopefully.
Yes. Because it's the best way to see this play. It's crafted in a way, Char, the playwright, is crafted in a way that it unravels itself. And I like how you said that my character is trying to find her way through along with the audience. Of what exactly went wrong and when, are we in the present time or are we not? Mm-hmm. It's very heady play that way and fun to watch, I imagine, to sit there.
And is it fair to say that it's partly a mystery?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also, as you were saying, to the characters as well, I mean, what's really exciting about playing it for us also, I think, is that it propels us in a similar way that it does the audience. So, you know, if hopefully we're present in the scene, you know, we don't have to work that hard to just achieve the natural arc of what's, mm-hmm. you know, set up for us.
Well, I've seen it twice now when it was produced off-Broadway in 2011. And a different play when you go in knowing, but really no less compelling. Would you describe the audience as another character in the play? Is that one of the things that makes it so powerful?
Yes. When, you know, we were working on the play in rehearsals, and it's very complex and took a lot of hours figuring out in the rehearsal room, how much does the audience know at this particular moment, and how can we help them either with the tech or adding lines, taking away some of the science speak maybe. You know, all this was thought through in the rehearsals. And then finally, when you get to put it up in front of the audience, you realize again, remind you as the actor on stage, that the audience is following your lead. So then you go back to sort of like day one, where you're spelling out this story, unweaving this story in front of people and hitting the things technically that you know that they need to know, that they need to hear. So the audience, even being in there, reminds you of the important plot points of the story.
Well, you're the only actor in this production. It was in the first. Has it changed a lot other than with the change of the actors?
John also was in the original MCC.
Mm-hmm. The script has changed very little. There were some minor tweaks.
The tech is fantastic.
Tech got embellished a little because we're in a bigger space now, so it's amped up a little, but I can't see any of it. I never look behind me, but I'm told that it's really pretty in spots, and also it's very jarring, and there are moments when you feel like maybe you're inside this woman's brain where something's not right and something's happening very quickly.
Well, it is clear that something's happened to Juliana, something outside her control, and that she's losing her faculties, and her faculties are extremely important to her. She's a controlling person.
Mm-hmm. And that makes
sharp.
Her
in more ways than one.
Yes. Yeah, there are no soft edges, and it makes it very fun to play.
Do you think that's why she desperately wants the problem to be brain cancer, because it's something that can be cured with an operation?
Yes. She's totally convinced herself that that's what it is.
So brain cancer is the best of a list of possibilities?
Yes, at that moment. I mean, the episode that she goes through is so frightening and so odd that she desperately wants a diagnosis quickly.
Well, so you play a doctor. And, yes. In fact, both of you play people in the sciences. Did you do your own medical research to understand your characters better?
I mean, when we were working around the table, we talked a fair amount about some of the research that Char, the playwright, had done going into this, and the research you had done the first time around.
Yeah, mine took me in a different way. Mine took me into the illness, and so my reading was about that and actually watching people that suffered from this.
Mm-hmm. So, you, to some degree, have you based your performance on what you saw?
I did see some, believe it or not, YouTube videos that families would share, mm-hmm. And post of relatives going through this, and I made notes of a lot of the symptoms, and I applied them where I could in the script.
Now, Zoe, I mm-hmm. probably shouldn't ask you this question, but how close is Juliana to your mother? As a mother.
Well, I would say not very close as a mother. I mean, she's a very warm mother in my experience. Not that I'm sure there weren't aspects of that for the character of Juliana, but I don't find my mom a rager.
Did you see the play when it was done off Broadway in 2011?
I did, and I just loved it. I really loved it.
And did you think at the time, you know, I could... do those? I can't say that part. Those parts, because you play three different characters.
Yes, yes. I mean, at that time, I had no idea that I'd ever have this opportunity, which I feel very privileged, you know, to be a part of this production.
And I'm privileged to play a part of her Broadway debut.
Yes, yes.
Well, I wonder about creating these characters mm-hmm. and distinguishing each one.
Yes,
because you don't change your costume all that much.
Right, right. And the hair is relatively the same. Although costumes
you could have put on a wig
bit.
For one of them.
True. I mean, I don't know that I set out to distinguish them in my brain in a sort of calculated way. I mean, I think my approach at least is really just trying to break down the reality of any given scene and try and be as, you know, present and truthful with what I know in all of those scenes, because as we were saying, things, you know, take place in different locations and different times,
they
you
go
know,
back
from past
and forth.
To present. Yes. So
the audience has to keep up with the play.
Right. So at least trying to figure out what information you have at any given moment.
Well, and you were saying in a talk back the other day that all three of your characters have very different histories
yes.
with my character.
Yes.
What do audiences want to know during talkbacks?
Oh, you know, a lot of times, and it's surprising to me, but I love it, they want to talk about the set and the tech because it plays such a part in the play. And I guess, you know, that's kind of rare that lighting and sounds, they're just sounds, it's not music, you know, propel the thing forward in a way that's it's really, really cool that they're used in the way that they are.
My guests are Laurie Metcalf and Zoe Perry, two of the four performers in the now Broadway production of The Other Place. It's at the Manhattan Theater Club, 7th J. Freeman Theater on West 47th Street. And its run has been extended until March 3rd. Can it go any longer after that, or do you have to go back into TV things? And
we have nowhere to go. Something else has to come into that space. So they're kicking us out.
That, we'll be clinging to the walls.
Yeah,
that's one of the problems when you work with a group like the Manhattan Theater Club or Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
They always have another production coming in.
Yes.
They can keep you a little longer, but not that much longer. The title, The Other Place, becomes more and more meaningful as the play progresses. But could we say this is a play about loss?
Yes.
As much as anything?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I think that's what it is. I think the playwright would be happy to hear you say that, that it's of
a couple of kinds of losses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Memories, definitely, and relationships.
The loss of a child.
Yes. And faculties, like you were saying. And
identity.
Yeah. Oh, identity, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your character, Juliana Smithton, exists in two places at the same time, the one she knows and the one she doesn't. As an actress, how do you deal with that? Do you just simply do it all the straight?
Well, it surprised me how technical just some of those switches are, just based in technique, actually, just a sudden turn of physically, the sharper that I can make them, weirdly, the easier it is for the audience to say, oh, now we're somewhere else. And it comes with a shift physically, vocally, and pace-wise. And if I can make them sharp, that helps.
And you're on stage when the audience enters. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, gee, Marina Abramović and Laurie Metcalf just sitting there quietly. Mm-hmm. Are you already in character in your mind?
Oh, well.
What are those actor secrets?
Yeah. I'm playing solitaire. But I think my character would
play
solitaire, yes. So it's kind of 50-50 at that point. But I like the beginning because it's very small. It's very quiet. And I think that that's also mirrors how the show ends, on a small, quiet note.
Well, your opening monologue is a tour de force. Have you ever done a scene where you directly address the audience
not
like
too
that
much.
Before?
No, not too much. I like it. I mean, well, I like the fact that I'm just looking into darkness. I can't really see, but I like the immediate contact.
Well, who do you think, imagine that Juliana is talking to in that scene?
The room full of doctors in St. Thomas that she's come down to do her sales pitch to sell this drug that she's on on the cure of. She's on the verge of a very important cure for an disease.
She is doing a presentation for a pharmaceutical company.
Yes.
And she's talking to doctors.
Yeah.
But in this opening scene, she's reenacting her presentation.
Yes, you know, that could be, if you take it out of context, it probably would be talking to the doctor that Zoe plays.
Mm. And Zoe, that's just one of the three, as I said, three characters you play.
Yes.
Each one interacts with Juliana in a different way. And in each scene you have, there's a distortion in terms of how Juliana presents herself and in terms of how she interprets what you do and say.
Mm.
So you have to, you're relating to, forget about the fact that she's your mother
in
real life.
Yeah.
At this point.
Oh, and I do.
You do,
on
right?
stage. I guess I was trying to describe it the other day. I mean, obviously the different history that all of these characters have with her, whether it be a first meeting or a long, complicated history, you know, it's obviously touching on different aspects of, you know, both of their personalities, but it's interesting too how it brings out different facets of her personality. So, you know, I'm reacting to what my questions or concerns elicit, you know.
In the mother-daughter scenes, we get kind of snarky with each other. Mm-hmm. And
do you try to surprise each other?
On stage? No.
Because some actors do that. They throw out little challenges to
each other. I mean, it changes on its own.
Yeah, I don't think we try to, but we do sometimes, maybe.
I don't think we try and force
maybe.
A change.
Well,
just to
I understand
reaction,
that you always arrive at the first rehearsal knowing all the lines, so that couldn't have been a problem in this case because you'd already done this play. But that is atypical, isn't it?
Yes,
why do
it
you
is,
do
and
it?
I never used to do it. I used to love coming in just having read the script through a number of times, nowhere near memorized, and learning the script with learning the play with a script in my hand while wandering around trying out different blocking. And then I started this other way, and I began learning the lines based on a couple of parts that I had that just the lines were just going to be an issue. Unless I got a head start on them, I would be spending all of the rehearsal period just going home and cramming. So I took my time, got off book, and then I started enjoying working that way, because without the book in your hand, you're free to really let your instincts fly in those early rehearsal days when things are fresh and unexplored.
You don't do that, do you, Sally?
I did for this because we knew coming in we were going to have a shorter rehearsal period of 2 weeks. So it behooved all of us to,
yes,
to
be
off book.
We were on the fast track.
But yeah. I would agree. I found it because I think it was the one of the first times I had done it, and I really enjoyed it in that same way, because I also get sort of hard on myself about not knowing the lines at a point in rehearsal where you get frustrated that you don't
have the freedom. Yeah, it eases up some of the frustration that comes naturally with rehearsals. It's pretty liberating.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time you've played a character related to your mother. Didn't you play the young Jackie a few times?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Yes, I enjoyed it so much because I got to skip school and in one Halloween episode eat a lot of candy.
But you almost grew up backstage. Your father was one of the founding members of Steppenwolf.
Yes. I mean, I grew up watching and being backstage of a lot of plays at a lot of different theaters, and I really enjoyed it.
And when you at a dinner table, did your parents talk shop? Is that a way of learning how to approach the craft?
Yeah. I mean, I guess sometimes. I mean, mostly we have a particular, you know, gallows humor, I guess. So sometimes it would just be what amused us about any given thing. But you know, we love sharing audition stories.
How long were you on Roseanne?
9 years.
Wow. Did you recognize at the time what a good show people were going to come to think it was?
Well, I auditioned on my own, and I didn't know anybody else who was going to be in the show. And then I went to see Roseanne do her stand-up, and she had the house, you know, riveted. And then I met John Goodman. And then after we shot the pilot, I think nobody was surprised that it shot into the top 10 shows the next day and stayed there for years. It had wonderful writing, but the two of them had such chemistry, and her sense of timing was always, you know, remarkable, impeccable. And I've always felt that she wasn't given her due for her acting.
Well, can a serious actress like you learn something from
watching
somebody like Roseanne?
You know what I learned? I learned the most important lesson of all is to try your best to be in the moment. And that's easy to say and really hard to do.
All actors say you're supposed to do that because you don't want to give a sense of knowing what's coming up.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And it helps you to be more truthful on stage. And she... But it's hard, and it's that's what actors strive for, and it comes to her naturally. She doesn't know how to not be in the moment. She is so present that she would ground me in the scenes that we would do. I just have to look at her, and she would be 100% present right there.
Now, you've also done a fair amount of TV, Zoe, and you have a film coming out, Cotton. Is that when is that going to be released?
I don't know exactly, but it was – so fun to work on. And in fact, one of the Steppenwolf ensemble members, Gary Cole, was in it. And it was a real treat to be on set with him and, you know, sharing ridiculous stories.
Well, there is a kind of a family in theater,
yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
Laura, you just played Mary Tyrone in Eugene O'Neill's Long Day's Journey into Night in London.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance that'll come to New York?
I don't think so. I don't think that those people hold the rights in New York. But I would love to do it again. I had a wonderful time doing it.
It's an amazing
role.
She was
fantastic.
It was a role that as soon as I heard that I was on the short list for it, I was ecstatic. And when I got it, I was thrilled, and it was something that I could never have passed up.
Are you going to envy me? I saw the original production.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I envy you.
Eric Marth. Yes. Jason Robards.
I would love to.
I was just a kid. I didn't know what was
going on. That's what I was going to say. I would love to walk in, buy a ticket, walk into a show that was going to be a classic and not know a thing about it. I think that'd be one of the biggest thrills. And of course, it stayed with you, you know.
Oh, it's one of the most memorable theater experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
Well, this one was pretty good, too. The other place, it's at the Manhattan Theater Club, Samuel J. Friedman Theater on West 47th Street and 8th Avenue. And my great thanks to Laurie Metcalf and Zoe Perry for coming by to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having us.